The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
AM 840, 1360, 97.5 WTAQ. News, talk, sports. From time to time, I take issue with various Gannett newspapers throughout Wisconsin. I think most people are aware that most of what you would perceive as the major daily newspapers, I mean, heck, with the exception of the one up in Marinette, maybe a couple of others, and of course the Journal Sentinel, most, and the Madison papers, but most mid-range size to small-size city papers are owned by Gannett. Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Marshfield, West Bend, Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, and I'm sure some that I left out. And from time to time, I have pointed out liberal bias among some of those newspapers. Probably all of those newspapers. I would argue that when it comes to the editorial page, this is just, you can debate this, probably, and I said probably, the most liberally biased editorial page. I'm not talking about what reporters put in the news hole. What I'm saying is, in their opinions, probably the most consistently liberal would be, I'll give you 3 seconds to think about what you think it might be. Then again, not everybody reads all of the papers the way I do. I would say the Appleton Post-Crescent. Probably the most liberal-leaning editorial page. I can tell you that in terms of misrepresenting things, outside of the Journal Sentinel, the Walker administration and now the Walker campaign, they have just been frustrated to no end with the Post-Crescent. The Post-Crescent ran an editorial. It appeared online yesterday concerning Mike Ellis's retirement from the state Senate. He, of course, Republican state senator from Neenah, in their wheelhouse, you know, in their backyard. And they talk about his retirement, and obviously they're very upset about it. So for Mike Ellis, who doesn't want to position himself as a moderate at best, a very liberal newspaper is bemoaning the fact that a reasonable moderate is gone. I want to read their piece, and then I'm going to comment on it. This garbage, by the way, that's exactly how they do it. This garbage is what our politics have become. Stalking politicians to shoot secret video of them in private conversations in public places. And it's not just national politicians either. It is, in the most recent case, a state legislator. Frankly, it's no wonder Republican of Neenah, Mike Ellis, decided not to run for re-election. This is neither to defend nor condemn the statements Ellis made in the video of him shot secretly at a Madison bar and released last week. He has said his comments look terrible. Tough to argue that. Instead, this is to condemn the tactics used against Ellis. Tactics which he said were the tipping point in his announcement Friday not to run. It's not the first time Ellis was targeted in an undercover video. In January 2012, he made a disparaging reference about a Green Bay high school as part of a hypothetical example he called Preble a sewer. In the wake of this week's video, Ellis says he's also been targeted in other ways, through anonymous phone calls to his home that suggest it, and through suspicious circumstances, went out with his wife. Ultimately, it was a discussion with his wife about what was ahead in the coming months, more of the same, that convinced him it was time to go. That, and the growing chasm between the parties in Madison that led similarly moderate, compromise-minded, and decidedly old-school colleagues to choose not to run either. You see, they're connected. The shady tactics and the death of moderates in Madison. Why would nationally known conservative activist James O'Keefe, who specializes in undercover video and his Project Veritas, target a Wisconsin state senator. Who would benefit from discrediting Mike Ellis? Who would be behind it? The left? The right? In Ellis's own party? All are good questions. This isn't journalists using legitimate means to hold elected officials accountable. It's not even someone from a special interest group taping an official statement in a public forum. Extremists use extreme measures. And as the extreme measures become more common, they might not look as extreme anymore. There are those on the left who wanted to see Ellis gone. They look at his support of Act 10 and other Republican proposed bills that he has supported. There are those on the right who want to see Ellis gone. They look at him as an obstacle who stopped proposals they supported, like a wider expansion of voucher schools. There isn't much room in the middle for Ellis and fellow Republican Dale Schultz or Democrats Tim Cullen and Bob Jock. None of them will return to the Senate. But it should be solely their decision or voters' decision. In Ellis's case, the left could have put its support behind Democratic opponent Penny Bernard Shaver. The right could have come up with a primary opponent for Ellis. The point is, he or any legislator shouldn't be driven out because of underhanded, unethical tactics. Ultimately, Ellis's decision was his own, but how many politicians would have put up with the same circumstances and decided otherwise? We shouldn't put up with it either. If we allow this garbage to go on without public outrage, it will not only continue, but get worse. And if that happens, we deserve the candidates we get. The ultra, not ultra, but the pretty liberal editorial page of the Appleton Post-Crescent bemoaning the loss of someone obviously they like, Mike Ellis, because he's moderate. Here's what's interesting. They mention Cullen and Jock, who are seen as moderate Democrats. But really, though, how often, I just disagree with that. How often have they compromised their liberal principles on something really big, issues central to the conservative movement, the way Mike Ellis has? The answer is not very often. And I know you can come up with votes, but I'm talking on central ideological issues here. I want to respond to this. First, I do not agree with the tactics of the gotcha video in public. Now, when they went undercover into Acorn, or when various groups go, into Planned Parenthood, that I think is different. While I don't agree with the tactic, Mike Ellis has nobody to blame but Mike Ellis. He was planning an illegal coordination with a PAC. He claims that it was just, basically what he's claiming is it was big talk. And quite frankly, coming from Mike Ellis, that is highly believable because he's as full of himself as he is something else. And usually at the same time. So it's not all that difficult to believe. But the guy had been burned by this once before and learned nothing. I pride myself on trying not to make the same mistake twice. Most people do. There was minimal damage from the Preble statement. This was a career ender. They completely soft soap what Ellis said in that video. They just brushed by it. He was planning an illegal activity. He said things that suggest that discussions were more underway than he later tried to claim once this came out, and he then met the media. But further, this notion that this is a vicious tactic by somebody here in Wisconsin, and it may have been, to get rid of Mike Ellis because he's too moderate, quite frankly, I don't think is true. Mike Ellis was a royal pain in the butt to his party, and it's not just because he's a moderate. That's part of it. You know what's the truest thing he said on there? At least in his mind, The truest, the thing he said in that video that is most true to Mike Ellis is where he said Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who you likely heard is not running for Congress, Scott Fitzgerald isn't running the Senate. I was. He sure as hell tried. That's the one statement that didn't surprise anyone, nor would anyone dispute. That's where he was a pain in the butt. That's why it was so easy to believe that he was being a pain in the butt with Governor Walker's tax cuts. Even if it turns out that he wasn't, he's done it all the time. That's why it was easy to believe. That's what Mike is. And because he causes trouble for Republicans, that's why the Post-Crescent is blaming entirely the video. And not Mike Ellis himself. Because I don't really see Mike Ellis as a victim here. If he is, he's a victim of his own making. So I really, no, I actually do not agree that there was just, look. You can't put a law against recording people in public. And if you're stupid enough to say the things as stupid and potentially criminal as Mike Ellis did, you deserve what you get and get what you deserve. I didn't touch on this enough, though. That is the lesson in the Mike Ellis story. Now, obviously, the big look, he was what he was planning is a big deal. It is. And he knew he couldn't get past it. But no, you do not have any expectation of privacy in public anymore. I am extremely guarded with conversations in restaurants and bars. If I'm saying anything that can be perceived as even remotely sensitive, one, I wouldn't do it if there's a bunch of people around. Two, if the conversation even goes there, I am suddenly pretty much like this. I am. No, I'm totally serious about that. I know I'm in radio, but I do appear on television from time to time. I have a website with my photo. People know what I look like. And even if they don't, one thing I've learned, they identify my voice almost immediately. I was in a situation I won't get into over the weekend. I was at a place. It was the last, let me just put it this way. It was the last place that I thought anybody would know who I was. And three or four people recognized my voice. I'm not going to say what it was, but it's the last place. So, yes, don't be an idiot and talk about sensitive things in public anymore because you just can't. Here's what I do suspect that somebody in state targeted him because you know why? Mike Ellis holds court most likely at that bar. It's a watering hole that's been popular with lawmakers in Madison for years. Holds court there all the time. And day in and day out, somebody got frustrated hearing his bloviating and did something about it. That's what I believe happened. That still makes it Mike Ellis's fault far more than anybody else's. And that Mike Ellis isn't seeking for re-election, running for re-election, is Mike Ellis's fault far more than anyone else's. It's 8:55. As you know, over the past few months, I'd been losing weight with Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. I've lost about 50 pounds. I now have passed the baton, or perhaps the bathroom scale, to my producer, Jason, who is now enjoying his own success these days. How much weight have you lost?
Well, officially today, I'm down another pound, so it's to 15.
15 pounds. If we round me up to 50, we're at about 65 pounds, mm-hmm. in what I lost on the program. So it continues to go very well.
It does.
And you actually do want to speak up on that mic, Chase. You continue to get more and more confident. You've been about going on 2 weeks tomorrow?
Tomorrow will be 2 weeks, yes.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to get into the routine of the things?
About 3 days.
Really? You did it that quick? So you haven't forgotten anything?
Nope.
Wow. See, that's really, well, of course, you have a better memory than I do.
True.
You know,
I'm much younger.
Yeah, but, yes. And you're thinning down. I can see it in your face.
Yeah.
And what's the most common question you get from people about the program?
Is it a diet?
What do you say?
No.
It's a weight loss program.
It's a program.
And then you try to explain all the stuff to them.
Yeah, because they want to know.
Well, then what they should do is call Dr. Jason Litwin at
920-268-1386, 920-268-1386.
It's Dr. Supervised, not radio producer or host supervised. So call Dr. Jason Litwin at 268-1386, 920-268-1386. Is this an experiment in athletic socialism? I say yes. We'll tell you what it is in 8 minutes. It's 8:56.
Albert Einstein actually said this. He said, the only reason